Matt Dunnigan, an analyst on TSN. We had one of the up-and-coming young quarterbacks, Jonathan Jennings, to start. We'll have Mike Riley later on.
That's a special kid.
Right he is a very good guy.
Yeah, James Franklin's got a lot of that in him as well. I like his future, too.
And you know what, Matt? You know the quarterback position very well. What have you seen in the evolution of Mike Riley?
I don't see. Mike is the same player that Mike was when he came to the Edmonton Eskimos. It's in his DNA to fight and claw and lead with every ounce of his energy and being. And that's a wonderful thing. People love to join in on that. And they can take their lead from their toughness. We know that. I think the growth and the understanding of the offense and being consistent from last year to this year has been huge for him. Ball's coming out quicker, more confident. And his relationship with Steve McAdoo, I think, has been instrumental in his growth and being comfortable behind the center what they're doing offensively in Edmonton. I think the biggest factor for this offense to spread its wings and be productive is the addition in middle of August of Darrell Walker. Darius Bowman is a premier receiver in the league. Kenny Stafford has certainly got the Jets to put a vertical stretch and fear God in the defense over the top. Now you sprinkle a Darrell Walker in there, and all of a sudden your Coohorns and your Watsons, you know, and everybody else become a big factor because these guys are a beast, and it's balanced the field for them offensively. And Riley is just licking his chops, much like Henry Burris is in Ottawa, with all the weapons at his disposal and what Darrell Walker has meant in bringing all that together, because that kid's special.
You had some pretty good receiving corps in your time. Receivers, you know, it's a swagger that the good ones have, some swagger, and they all want the ball. How do you balance that as the quarterback to ensure that you get them all involved and to keep it harmonious?
Yeah, well, you play chess. Do you play chess?
A little bit. I'm not very good.
Yeah, well, it's a game of thinking ahead and forward thinking and being aggressive and staying 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, moves ahead. That's what you have to do offensively. You're giving the defense a formation and setting them up, watching the adjustment, you know, executing a play, moving the chains, and just setting up a situation in the fourth quarter when the game's in the line. You give them the same look, and you do something different, a little extension off it out the back end or something, and now you're throwing a touchdown, and game's over with. You're pre-planning. Mike Riley, this receiving core, keeping everybody – they're chess pieces. That's all they are. And you are setting up a defense with aggressiveness. And when you have talent across the board like both these offenses do, you can do a lot of things with that. And they're really at a disadvantage because a lot of times they're like, all right, I'm going to take away this receiver. I'm going to take away a Darius Bowman and make everybody else beat us. Well, Edmonton's got there's a lot of everybody else out there. You know, there's Darrell Walker and there's Kenny Stafford and then you got Coohorn and you got Watson. I just think that's exactly what Ottawa's doing, and you just can't do that anymore. So now defense is defending. They're not being aggressive. They're not dictating. They're defending. And that's what you want to do offensively. Offensively, you want to be offensive. Defense, you want to make them defend. And you do that by pressuring them. Both these offenses have that weapon. They have that depth in their weapons and can dictate. And so I think that's what you know, chess is very much like that, and being aggressive and keeping a couple steps ahead. And both these offenses certainly have a capability. And that leads me to the running game. You know, you got to have a running game, a smattering. And both these quarterbacks certainly have the ability to do that. I think that'll be big come Sunday. Riley or Burris is going to make a play like Burris did last week, break and contain and winning a touchdown. And you scored, and then Simone Lawrence comes and pops him at 2 yards over the end zone. Mike Riley moving the chains late. I think all those things are huge moving into Sunday. And then he coupled these no-name running backs. Jeremiah Johnson, William Powell. And then you've got Akeem Shavers. It's like, these guys weren't even on the roster. But the run game's going to be huge in order to have all your faculties, and because you have to be able to control that line of scrimmage and take it when it's there. I think both of them give it. It's just with some no-name running backs.
Matt Dunnigan, Hall of Famer, analyst now on TSN. Ottawa plays a lot of man-to-man coverage. Edmonton's big three receivers, they're very different skill set. Bowman's the big physical one. You got the speed of Stafford, and then Darrell Walker, I think, is the best route runner of the three. Would you play more zone, or can you switch things if you're Ottawa? Because Edmonton today was wondering if Ottawa is going to switch from what they've been doing, because a lot of people think Edmonton has that advantage if they go man-to-man on that defense against the three Edmonton receivers.
Yeah, Mark Nelson's a good, experienced defensive coordinator. And, you know, he's not going to just go out there and play blanket man coverage and put his guys in a vulnerable position 24/7. Because as a quarterback, that's all you can ask for is one-on-one opportunities and coverage. And so when you, as a quarterback, see man coverage, you're going to work. You're going matchups, right? And we just talked about the weapons he has. And it's just like pick them. You know, who's hot today? Who's got the physical advantage over the DB? Or who's got leverage? You know, who's, you know, somebody nicked? You know, did you see somebody, you know, come up lame, you know, the series before? Just go to work and just weed him out like a weak calf and hurt him out of the crowd and just start pumping the ball that way. I don't think that Mark Nelson, defense coordinator of the Red Blacks, is going to put his defense in that situation where a quarterback can do that, where Mike can do that. I think he's going to mix it up, try to keep him off balance, let the pressure, which has been as good as anybody in the league, as far as getting to the quarterback, hopefully get to him that way. I think you'll see a lot of stunts up front, a lot of movement up front, not one-on-one play, which creates leverage for those defensive linemen on offensive linemen, a big offensive lineman that Edmonton has. Those boys are big.
They are huge.
So you don't want to play all the man when you talk about the Edmonton Eskimos and their offensive line. You want to play some of the man. You want to play half the man. The way you do that is you get them to turn their shoulders. And the way you do that is by stunting and moving people and playing a portion of the offensive lineman as opposed to the whole guy. Because if you're playing the whole guy, you're not going to get to the quarterback. Ball's going to be gone. He's going to have all day to throw. So I expect a lot of stunts from up front, trying to create leverage for their defensive lineman who's been outstanding all year. And I expect Mark Nelson to mix things up on the back end so that his guys aren't set up to get beat every play.
Matt Dunnigan joining us on Radio Row at the 103rd Grey Cup live in Winnipeg. You've been through this game many times as a player, and, you know, the hype of now, like, there wasn't Radio Row, you know, when you originally came into the league, you know, there wasn't, you know, TSN coverage wall-to-wall like there is now. There's, you know, Anthony Calvillo talked about how, for him, he actually really had to focus on just finding time to eat, like, because he was so busy. Henry Burris has been through this. Mike Riley was here as a number three quarterback.
Yeah.
Now it's his first time as a starter. What about the pressures and all that? Is that overblown, or do you think it's maybe under-talked about just how much demand there is on those guys and how different this is than a normal week from what the players are used to?
No, I think that's a very valid point. I think that is a factor, a huge factor. I learned in Edmonton my first 5 years of how to deal with that and how not to deal with that. Edmonton has just come off five in a row. I come into that team year six, 1983, backing up Warren Moon, charting all his plays, and we squeak into the back door of the playoffs, and we lose in the first round. Warren leaves, and now I'm saddled up with the football team, an historic football team, and trying to put it back together and prowess back in the, you know, and put ourselves back in the map. Going, and it took us, we got beat in 84 in the playoffs, got beat in 85, 86, we go to the Grey Cup, and we lose. And that's the experience that I'll draw on now and talk to you about is Hamilton had gone in 84 and 85 and got beat.
Yep.
So they know what to expect. They know how to deal with all these other distractions and Media Row and Radio Row and pulling here and eating properly and getting your family tickets and accommodations and all these obligations that you have all of a sudden thrust on you in the biggest week of the season. You don't know how to deal with it. They learned in 84 and 85, 86, we were getting there for the first time, and we had no idea. Because all those Edmonton Eskimos who won five in a row are gone, not on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And we're there, we're just like kids in a candy store, bug-eyed, you know, happy to be there type of mentality. And Hamilton had their briefcases, and they were locked and loaded with an ugly look on their face, bound and determined to get it right, and they handed it to us. We got destroyed. So whoever's able to handle those circumstances and those extras that are put on you this week, it is a big factor. Fans, they'll watch the game and they'll just look at, you know, who's moving the chains, who's putting points on the board, who's capitalizing, making plays. But in order to get there and to be at your best, good organizations will have help for these guys to get over those hurdles throughout the week, because it is very taxing. It can drain you. You can lose your focus, and it can be a determining factor once you take the field. So that's extremely important aspect of this week.
Matt Dunnigan, my guest, live at the 103rd Grey Cup. The fun factor of the Grey Cup, like, you guys play to win championships, but you can't win if you're not in the championship game.
Yeah.
How fun was it? Like, even now for you, and, you know, I know you go around with the Spirit of Edmonton and Ryderville and everywhere, and that's what's great about the CFL is the fans have the opportunity to just share a beer sometimes with the players that they used to watch. So I'm sure it's a different type of fun now, but when you were in it, like, did you have some teammates where it was a fun week, or was it just always business?
Well, it's a different time. You know, social media and technology to the point now is keeping these guys in check. You know, you don't need curfew. You know, your fans are the curfew. You know, it's like, they'll take a picture, tweet it out, or, you know, and bang, Instagram, and there you are. You know, you're out there for everybody to see, and you're not focused. It's like, what's so-and-so doing? Well, everybody knows what he's doing instantaneously. Back when we were playing, that wasn't there. I mean, you could creep around a bit if you're so inclined. Yeah, I mean, that wasn't my mentality. You know, I had enough on my plate, you know, to try to win the football game or stay focused. I was there 6 times, in uniform 5 in the Grey Cup, won twice. I got knocked out of one of the ones we did win when Damon came in
87. Great game.
It's just like, so it's not exact science. And believe me, you get there, you lose, that stays with you the rest of your life. You think about that, and you lose sleep over that. You know, I was able to get 2 rings out of 6 opportunities, and the 4 that... The one I didn't get to play was against Edmonton in 93. And we turned the ball over 7 times, and they beat us 33-23 after turning the ball over 7 times. That one really hurts, because I was on the sidelines of blown Achilles watching that mess, and we were a better team at Edmonton that year. Who knows if you're going to get back?
Yeah.
So treat this with the respect it deserves. Understand that it's not a given, and it goes by quickly. And do everything. You can party for the next 6 months. You can go out there and run the streets, do what you want to do. Just stay focused here now, and you beg and you plead for your teammates to do the same. But it's a different time when I played and what these guys are going through. Really, they don't need a curfew, because the fans and the social media and where we're at today, I think, kind of governs all that. But that's a big thing to try to convey to these guys, you know, that 34 years for Ottawa, you know, 10 years for the Eskimos. There's not many guys that you can draw on from those teams. Watkins, Shuligan, you know, those couple guys you can from each team to draw on the experiences. And they need to convey to the rest of the teammates just how difficult it is to get back.
You played the position. I think you understand it and respect it. Are you a little amazed at how Henry Burris, at his age, could play at the level that he's still playing at?
Yeah, reminds me a lot of Damon, and when he played at almost effortlessly, yeah. You know, and it's like, first of all, how do you do that without pulling, you know, your hamstring, or how do you do that without, you know, getting up all broken 3 spots? You know, they're extremely durable, gifted athletes that work hard at their trade. Henry and Damon are, I think, are the leaders when it comes to that. AC was a different kind of guy, you know. Late in his career, you know, you saw him turtling in the pocket, didn't want to take hits, you know. But he could hurt you with his legs. And he got rid of the ball so quickly. He was like a Danny Mac almost, you know, in his heyday years with Mark Trestman and the Alouettes. He just couldn't get a hand on him. And his ball was out of his hands. Phenomenal. I just scratched my head, you know, because I played. I had to have my, I don't know, gas pedal buried 24/7 to be able to play the game that I played. That's my style. That's what I did. Their style is a bit different. Yeah, I think each one of them is different. We're talking about Henry to AC to Damon and how they do it, and with the longevity and the production and the excellence that they bring to every time. It's hats off to them, because you don't see it very often. When you do, stop and appreciate it, because it's few and far between.
One last one for you. Matt Dunnigan joins us, Hall of Famer, analyst on TSN. Of course, wall-to-wall coverage on the network. We have it here on radio. Row Across League. You can listen to the game right here on TSN 1260 on Sunday. You can watch it on TV with Matt and the crew. The quarterbacking position. I talked to you before we came on, and how sometimes a little bit of too robotic in NCAA now for quarterbacks. Mm. As a guy who played the position, is that a concern? Is there a way to go away from that?
Mm. Well, I think it is a concern. More and more is being taken off the shoulders of the quarterback and put on the offensive coordinator. I'm not a believer in that. I want my quarterback to be as accountable as possible and to be engaged in the thought processes, down and distance, personnel, matchups, anticipation of coverages and defenses and stunts. And I want him thinking along those lines. I want his motor running so fast for 60 minutes of a ball game that he can barely walk at the end, right? And I don't want him being robotic and spoon-fed and he just looks at defense and regurgitates a play and tries to execute it. I want him engaged. I want him involved in every aspect of that football game. I think the way you do that is to give him accountability and play calling. Call me old school, but it's 10 years ago or 11 years ago now when I was in Calgary, I got a guy that could do it, and I got Kahari Jones. And after a week of being in the organization, I called him up the night before the ball game, said, "Kahari, are you okay with calling your own plays tomorrow?" And you talk about getting your pee hot in a hurry. When a coach calls and tells you that you're going to be calling your own plays, your focus will change. And now it is on your shoulders to go out there and think all those things I was talking about and be involved in every aspect of the game, not get spoon-fed from the press box. All the spoon-feeding and whatnot, in my opinion, happens throughout the course of the week and the preparation and anticipation of down the distance and coverages you're going to get and left hash, middle hash, right hash, up and down the field zones. And to me, that is where the preparation comes. And now, game time, now let me go play. Yeah. Let me put my guys in the right situation. I got the game plan. It's right here on my wrist. I can see it. And if you want to send in a play, fine. Send in a play. You can talk to me in my headset and my helmet. That's fine. But let me go play. Let me play with my teammates. When an offense in college, high school, college, or pro is humming at its finest, is its discernible difference is in hurry up. Right?
Yeah.
And you see, bang, they're going no huddle, tempo, hurry up, and they're dictating. Again, that being offensively. And it's a different mindset, and it's a tempo. You get that when a quarterback calls his own plays. I think a lot of that is lost when they're constantly being spoon-fed and robotic. Yeah.
One last one. A lot of people wondering, what road grill recipe should the boys be firing up on Sunday?
Man, that's that. You know, you can go to the Food Network, you go to Gusto TV, you know, because Chris Knight, the producer of our show, he started Gusto TV.
Yeah.
And now he's a direct competitor with the Food Network, which we were associated with for 3 years and still are. But, yeah, you can go to that. You can go to our websites and World G Oyster because we had everything up there. You can go classic chicken wings. You know, that's real easy, but we got some really good dipping sauces and ways to prepare those three different kinds. I just challenge you to go to the website, okay. Whether it's Gusto or Food Network, plug in Road Grill recipes, and knock yourself out because that whole program was based on if I can do it, so can you. Simple does not have to be complicated. Typically, it's delicious is very simple, and you just don't want to get in the way of yourself. But a few tips here and there goes a long way in the world of cooking and gives you some confidence just to be dangerous on the grill.
I love it. Matt, always great to see you. You're looking great. I know Eskimo fans will be happy to bum into you
in the
spirit of Edmonton room. I'm sure you'll make an appearance at some time before the week's out.
Yeah, we're around. I'm not hiding.
All right, take her easy, Matt.